ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा। थैंक यू ऑल ऑफ यू for coming on Sunday afternoon here. As human beings who are introduced to Krishna consciousness, we are very fortunate people because by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas, we have been given this knowledge about the auspicious times in our life, like Brahma Murtha in a day, Ekadashi in fortnight, and Chaturmasya in a year, and out of that Kartik month. If you were not given this knowledge, then we were not going to be devotees. And then there are people in this world, in the month of Kartik also, they drink alcohol, they go to prostitutes, they smoke, they have intoxications, they do gambling, they do all cheating, all kinds of things, obnoxious things are being done. Why? Because of sheer lack of knowledge. It's not that they don't like their welfare, but because of lack of knowledge, avidya, they remain in illusion. And then they perform obnoxious activities and they suffer perpetually. Because whatever is done in this month is, whatever fruits we get out of the actions are millions of times than other times. If other times one cheats, there is one reaction. And this month somebody cheats, it is much, much more unimaginable times there is reaction. This other month, sometimes somebody eats non-vegetarian food, there is one reaction. And this month, somebody eats that. So amazingly, surprising, multiple times of reaction. So it's just out of ignorance. They don't know. Today, maybe some people are having intoxicated because being Sunday, they must be intoxicating themselves. That is why we have to be grateful to Prabhupada, that he has given knowledge to us. He has actually saved us from, not only has saved us from so much suffering of reactions of our karma, but it is a negative concept, you know, preventing negative suffering reactions in life. But he has given us a way to really be happy in life and really be blissful, really be transcendentally blissful, being unaffected by the world around us. So there are simultaneous two kinds of benedictions are there. One is saving ourselves from the miseries and simultaneously enjoying to the nature of the soul, what the nature of the soul is actually about. On that platform, they have given us an opportunity to really relish our human existence and unite with the Lord in love and devotion. So how much ever we thank the acharyas, our Guru Maharaj and Prabhupada, it is not enough. Like, we can never thank enough our mother and father for whatever they have done. Our elders tell us in family, then we can never repay them what they have done. Similarly, if that is so with the parents of one body in one life, what to speak of Gurudev and Vaishnavas who have been so kind that their kindness will continue with us for life after life. Whether life will be here again in the material world, that will be also blessed by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And if life will go to be in Golok Vrindavan after this, then that also will be by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. So, transcendental experiences in this life, they cannot be on our own efforts. Can never be, even if we have become devotees and we are sincere devotees. The transcendental experience is only because of mercy of great souls. Your physical achievements, whatever you have, money right now, is all your efforts and you are working very hard, your karmas. But transcendental happiness, spiritual happiness is only because of mercy of the Lord and His devotees mainly. That's why any spiritual bliss that we experience in our life, we have to immediately attribute that to devotees, not to our chanting and our sadhana and our sacrifices, our following rules and regulations. And the more you express your gratitude for this transcendental experience, the swift advancement we make in Krishna consciousness. Because once we think we are the owners, we are the doers, whatever we are experiencing, then there is one kind of experience. Out of pride, there will be minimization of the happiness that you deserve to have, and you will not get that deserving happiness. But as soon as one becomes grateful, then the gratitude takes you to great higher levels of spiritual understanding. And the greater understanding you have, the humbler you will be and more grateful you will be. You never think that I deserve and I am the eligible, qualified person for that. That is the nature of spiritual world. The more advancement that we make in spiritual life, that humble we become. We are supposed to become humble. And we become more qualified by becoming humble. More advanced, then we are more and more humble and more qualified. So, today is Rasa Purnima day. See the world, how the world is looking at Rasa Purnima. They feel that today is a day where we can enjoy with our consorts, our friends and ladies and men together. They have so many, you know, filmy songs, singing programs in the night. And they songs and dance in the night. But it is what is explained in spiritual world is that what is highest in spiritual world, the highest of all experiences, the most subtlest of all experiences, they reflect as the most lowest degraded activities in the material world. It's called as perverted reflection. Prabhupada used the word perverted reflection. What is highest on the top of the tree in the reflection in the river water, it is the lowest in the reflection. So what is the most highest experience in spiritual world is perceived by the material world and people in the material world as highest, of course, from their point of view, but is the most heinous and most degrading activity that the soul can do and the degraded destination it will reach. That is why understanding is very important. The things are always there in the world, but how we look at it, what perception we have, what understanding we have got, what vision we have got towards them is extremely important because that decides our destination. That is why this subject of Raslila is actually not discussed in public anytime. Because of lack of understanding, it can mislead people. It can arouse so many questions which are very difficult to answer because of the, like somebody, suppose a child asks, what is the meaning of, how do you describe the pleasure of having a child? Suppose a child asks you, so would you go on explaining to him what is the meaning of that? You know the child is not qualified to understand. You say, no, you don't talk, something else will divert his subject matter. The child insists you that, no, tell me what is the meaning of having a child? What is the meaning of getting married? So, something else you will tell, but the real subject cannot be told because it is not the matter, it's not the subject of the child. So, similarly, the understanding of the Rasa Leela subject in the bhakti, in the spirituality, is not something which is to be discussed in public. But we can touch upon the external aspects of Rasa Leela. We can touch upon the qualifications to enter in Rasa Leela. We can touch upon who are the people who participated in Rasa Leela. We can understand what was the qualification, what was their lifestyle, what was their consciousness, how they would think, how they would do things otherwise in their life. That we can understand. So that we can understand the grandeur of this event called Rasa Leela. And we will learn to develop awe and reverence for this activity. And even in Bhagavatam also, we'll have to wait till 9 cantos are over and few chapters in 10th canto are also over. So much preparation has to be there to even come across the, so by the way, reading of Bhagavatam, Rasa Panchadhyayi. So even in spiritual life also, you'll have to really qualify yourself to come up to the hearing of the description of Rasdila. Otherwise it would begin in the first chapter only. No, it is kept in the 10th chapter, 10th canto, after many chapters are over. That means it is a very deep subject. So today we like to discuss upon some external aspects of Rasleela and try to develop some awe and reverence and respect towards the grandeur of this activity. First of all, this activity of Rasleela is a very private activity. Even in Vrindavan Dham, who goes to Vrindavan Dham? Those special souls go to Vrindavan Dham to take birth there. Even people who are devotees of Vishnu and who are devotees of Dwarkadish or Ranganath or Jagannath or Badrinath, they are not there in Vrindavan. Then who are in Vrindavan? Only those people can take birth in Vrindavan who are deeply immersed in love for the Lord, who have no other karmic or jnana yoga or karma yoga or any other yoga, ashtanga yoga, siddhi yoga, any other spiritual so-called ambitions. Even those who are ambitious of getting liberation, even those are not there in Vrindavan. Those who are situated only in love of the Lord, selfless, ahaituki apratihata, uninterrupted, unmotivated love for the Lord and immersed and surrendered in that love and service to the Lord. First of all, when they are like this qualified, Lord removes the knowledge from their brain that the Lord is Lord. And then they take birth. And then the Lord also gives up his position as the Lord. And incognito he comes in Vrindavan Dham to have that kind of, first of all, first platform relationship where they don't know he's the Lord and he doesn't act as Lord. And they have a simple, simplistic relationship without knowledge of being Lord and have real transcendental experience. And then there are cows, and then there are peacocks, and then there is forest, there is grass. Everybody is a devotee of the Lord. Huh? Even in the form of blade of grass, he is a devotee of the Lord. He has attained that stage of love so that he can give pleasure to the feet of the Lord by being as soft and as fragrant as possible. So from that it begins. Then there are birds, then there are cows, and then there are servitude kind of friends of the Lord. They serve the Lord, they are younger to the Lord. Then there are equal, samavayaska. Samavayaska means they actually chastise the Lord and then they climb on his head also and they beat him also in the wrestle and then they put him on the ground and they punish him also. So many things they do. And then there are gopis who are elderly gopis, who have motherly affection, who feed Krishna, who have paternal affection to Krishna. And then there are gopis who are conjugal love they have for Krishna. So even among them there are categories, and only amongst all these categories of most exalted devotees of the Lord, most worshipable, most transcendental, surrendered devotees of the Lord, who are blessed by the Lord to stay in Vrindavan Dham, where the Lord is moving barefoot, amongst them only gopis were given chance to enter. And you should know that even all the gopis did not enter Gopalila, Rasleela. Only those, this is explained by Kavi Karnapura in his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. Very beautiful explanation he has given. So that misnomer that people have got that, you know, it's a lusty activity, Krishna dines with the other's wives in the middle of the night, he's not a moral Lord, how can you say he's a moral? Even all demons were saying, Shishupal said the same thing, how can he be great personality for Agra Puja? He is not a fit person, he is an immoral activity person. He is fully immersed in immoral activities. He killed his relative, uncle. He danced with others, women in the night. How can he be qualified for Agra Puja? Such kind of discussion were going on amongst people who are seeing Krishna face to face also. Imagine. So these gopis, Kavi Karnapur explains that some of the gopis were not free from complete contamination. They were in the process of purification. Although they were very highly advanced devotees, but they did not get the association of Nitya Siddha gopis like Yashoda, Rohini or Prabhavati or many other people are there who are eternally with the Lord, Nitya Siddha. And those who associated with these Nitya Siddha gopis through service and assisting them to serve the Lord at various occasions, they got freed from sex desire. And they were completely purified. Only they were allowed to enter Raslila, imagine. And some of them were not so pure and some of them were not so much associating with the Nitya Siddha gopis of the Lord. They were not so purified, so they got married, they engaged in the conjugal affairs with the husband, they became pregnant, they delivered children, they had children. So they were not allowed to go inside the Raslila. So don't think that everybody was there in Raslila. It is the activity, it proves that the basic misunderstanding people have got, that it's a lusty activity, it's an illicit activity of one man dancing with others women. That we have to eradicate first. This is the activity where only those purest of all pure souls who have no tinge of any desire to enjoy bodily pleasures, only they were allowed. And Krishna also had no bodily inclination towards anybody. This experience of Raslila is an interaction of only spirit souls, the Supreme Spirit Soul and the other living entities, on the purest of all platforms of love only. There is no trace of lust at all. At the same time, there is no trace of pride or any aggrandizement of oneself. There is another thing. Because Lakshmi Devi also tried to enter Raslila. Lakshmi Devi is such a chaste lady. She is supposed to be Pada Sevanam Acharya. How one should worship the lotus feet of the Lord. She is the Acharya of that. Not ordinary personality. She never leaves the lotus feet of the Vishnu from Vaikuntha. But when Krishna played flute, she became attracted. She left the feet of the Lord. Of course, Lord Krishna and Vishnu are not different, but bhav is different. So she left Vaikuntha and she came down to earth where Krishna was performing Raslila. But she was not allowed to enter Raslila, although she was a woman. And what was told to her, why? She asked, why I'm not allowed? So she said that, gopis said that, you have to first become a gopi. So what is there in becoming gopi? That means you have to milk the cows and make dahi and churn the curd and yogurt and make into butter. And then you have to sweep the goshala. You have to clung goshala of the cow dung and clean the goshala of cow urine. Clean the cows also. And you have to make the cow dung cakes. And you have to dry them on the mountains and on the tree barks and everything. Dry them up, then collect them and gather them in the tokri and in the bag, basket, and store them in the house and cook rotis and so many things, which are very simple things, you know. So she said, I'm Lakshmi. I'm the queen of Vishnu. I'm the queen of Vaikuntha. I cannot do all these things, you know. I'm not used to all these things. So they said, sorry, then you have to go and prepare yourself. So she didn't go to prepare herself for becoming a gopi. She wanted to attain the Rasa Darshan or Rasa Lila Pravesh like that only. So she went to Belvan and started performing tapasya. She thought that by performing tapasya, I will get entry into Rasa Lila. It is said till today she is standing there and doing tapasya, but she has not attained the entry in Rasa Lila. Now what does that mean? Lakshmi is not a contaminated lady who has so much lust in her and who is contaminated with material desires. She is a purest of devotee. But she had the Aishwarya understanding about herself, okay, I am so and so. Even that was the disqualification. She would not enter, would not be allowed to enter Raslila. So you can understand who were the inside, those who were totally surrendered souls, those who had no material desire, no even pride of their even spiritual position also, they were inside. And they were simplest of all simplest people. They would do anything. They would do most menial service to cows and to Krishna and to everybody else. So that simple-hearted, clean nature of the souls endowed with pure love for the Lord, they were there inside. And then who else came? When there was a Muni called Asuri Muni. He was a demoniac. His name was Asuri. He would perform meditation and he was so pure-hearted that Every day in his drishtanta, in his meditation, he would see the darshan of the Lord and his leelas he would witness. There are so many devotees we hear in this history of Indian history. There are so many saints like Surdas, you know, who would daily see the Lord, who would describe the dressing of the Lord even though he was blind. People would challenge him. One time they didn't dress Lord at all. They just put some kopin and they said, tell today's Sringar. So Surdas said, a beautiful description he gave. Very nice Hindi, you know, Nangu Baba, like that. He was like, he was naked, Digambar. And such kind of devotees are there in India. They were there in India. So, Asuri Muni had that darshan every day. And suddenly, one day darshan stopped. So, he was wondering what happened. So, he went chasing Brahma. Brahma, I want to see the Lord. Where is the Lord? So, he said, Lord is not in Brahma Loka. He has gone down. Then he went to Vaikuntha. And he asked Vaikuntha Vasis, where is the Lord? So Vaikuntha Vasis told that Lord has gone to earth. On that earth, I mean, there are so many Brahmandas, no? Which earth planet? In which Brahmanda? So he said, that Brahmanda, in that earth planet, Prithvi Loka, where Prishnigarbha appeared as son of Prishni and Sutava, and Vamandev appeared as son of Aditi and Kashyapa. Is that right? Prishni and Sutava and Kashyapa and Aditi. Where they have appeared, in that planet he has gone down to enjoy Braj Leela. So then he went to Shiva to find out where to how to go there. So Shiva was getting ready and Shiva said, oh, where are you going? He said, I want to meet the Lord because I'm be missing him in my meditation. I want to see him. He said, he has gone to the earth where I told you, Vamandev and Prishnigarbha has burned. And I'm about to go there. So Kasuri Muni said, can I come with you? So Shiva said, okay, let's go together. So they went down and they came to the arena of Ras Leela. And they were stopped by Lalita, Vishakha and Gopis. So you cannot go inside. Why we cannot go inside? They were like, they came with force of attraction. They were not like walking peacefully. They were like running with one focused attention. And they came at the entrance of Ras Mandala. And they were stopped. And they were told that only women enter here. All the women who are gopis, who are endowed with love, only women, only one man is there, that is Sri Krishna. No other man can go inside. And what are the proof of the sincerity of Asuri Muni and Lord Shiva? That they didn't have a iota of delay in asking how to become woman. I mean, always I think that suppose I am told this, that you have to become woman now to do something, some extraordinary activities and pravesh in some extraordinary event. I will think 51 times, how will I become woman? What will happen to me? Who will see me? What will my wife think if I become woman? And Shiva also married man. He had Parvati at his wife. But not even one thought crossed him that my disciples, my followers, my rishis who are my followers, my wife Parvati, what she will think. Instantly he asked eagerly, tell us how to become woman. So they said, you have to go to Mansarovar, where one time Radharani cried. And she let her tears flow there and a pond was formed called Mansarovar. She was angry because Krishna came late. So in that water, if you take bath, then you will become gopi. You will develop gopi sharir. And then you will be able to enter. So they just ran and jumped across Jamuna, because today also it is across Jamuna only. And they jumped in the water and instantly came out running. And gopis laughed at them, because they didn't know exactly what is happening. They were simply eager. They were not knowing exactly what's happening. Of course, they became females. But Lord Shiva became a very beautiful gopi. And the snakes remained as they are. Because the snakes were not blessed by the blessing of becoming gopi by allowing to take bath in the Mansarovar. So snakes remained snakes only. And he became a beautiful lady who had armlets of snakes and bracelets of snakes, armlets and bracelets, and on the neck and the head, everywhere snakes were there. So how would a beautiful lady look if there are snakes around her? But Lord Shiva was unaware of the oblivious to the understanding of the snakes being around on him. He knows, but he was not that time aware. And they were laughing to see that darshan of Lord Shiva having snakes around him. And they appreciated the eagerness and the focus and the devotion and the readiness and to surrender. They really appreciated. So these two beautiful gopis, Asuri Muni and Lord Shiva, became gopis now. They decorated themselves, did a lot of good shringar, and took them inside holding their hand in the Rasamandala, And right inside the middle of the center of the Rasa Mandala, where Krishna and Radharani were seated on the jeweled throne, bedecked with jewels and flowers and beautiful decorations, divine atmosphere was there inside, unbelievably divine. And there they were given chamar and they did chamar seva of Radha and Krishna. And then they were, Lord Krishna was very pleased. Radharani was pleased, and Radharani and Krishna said that you should now go out and guard our Ras Mandal. And from the gate of the Ras Mandal, you can see Ras Leela. And please guard also. So very happily they got out. And Lord Shiva sat there. And he is Gopeshwar Mahadev. He is Shiva who became Gopi, Shiva Gopi. And Asuriman also stayed there only. So even though they became gopis, they went inside, but they were not able to participate. Please understand. It required something special above that also, which gopis were. Because Shiva Gopi, Gopeshwar Mahadev never went to cowshed and cleaned the cows and milked the cows. But these gopis did that. Another understanding that we have, who were inside? For example, you know all these books that we read, they are called as Shrutis. Shrutis means they are in the form of sound. You hear them and you understand. And they were in the form of sound only, till the beginning of Kali Yuga. Only when Vyasadeva understood and everybody understood, Lord understood that in the Kali Yuga, people will not have very good memories. So, everything has to be written down now. Because if I tell something to you, say I'll tell you 10 things today, by the time you get out of the door, you'll remember only one thing. A 9 thing you'll forget. So how do you remember? If you write it down, you will keep on remembering until you get out of the gate and go to home also, 10 paper will be there. You can again refer and remember what is there in the 10 things that I told. So that's why these Shrutis were written down. And now they are in the form of book. But before they were in the form of sound only. Whatever you say, Brahma Vaivarta Puran, Srimad Bhagavat Puran, Bhagavad Gita were in the form of sound only. And these are all personalities who are in the form of Shruti. There's another way to understand in spiritual life that all this, like Himalaya is a mountain, but he's a person who is serving the Lord in the form of mountain. Yamuna Devi is a river, but river, she's a Devi. She's a Gopi herself. So like that, the Shrutis also were personalities. They were ladies, Shrutis. They all one time met Lord Vishnu and said, because the Vedas, that is Shrutis, are not describing Krishna directly and don't give perception of the personality of Godhead directly, some indirect mention and a lot of theoretical, philosophical discussion is there, but not direct perception of you, my Lord, is available in us. So how do we get liberated ourselves if our knowledge, what we are giving, is not so much directly towards the Lord? Please save us and go give us some mercy. So Lord Vishnu took them all the Shrutis to Vaikunth, to Golok Vrindavan. And from distance he showed them all the gopis and the Golok atmosphere. So looking at the atmosphere of Goloka, where gopis were serving Sri Krishna in conjugal loving devotion, they were very inspired and they wanted to serve the Lord in that same way. So they told the Lord after seeing that, will you be able to bestow upon us that blessing that we also can serve like that. So those gopis, those Shrutis, they were given birth in Nandagaon as younger girls to Radha and gopis, her friends. They were baby gopis. I mean, you can say younger ones. And as younger ones, they served Radharani, they served Yashoda in serving Krishna, in assisting him to bathe him, to feed him, to dress him. All those things, menial services they did. You know, they were like Kim Kari. What is Kim Kari? What should I do? Kim Karaha. What do I do? Please tell me, what should I do? No other question, no other qualification, only desire, what should I do? Now what next I should do? And they would waiting anticipatory mood. Now she will call us and give some service. Like that they served. And because of that menial service, very humble service and no dignity in one sense of pride and everything, no position as such. So they were blessed by Sri Krishna in giving them association of Yamuna Devi. And Yamuna Devi, who is the fourth wife of Krishna, who is very special gopi, who also dwelled in Dwarka but also moved in Vrindavan as river. She had a very unique position. So they had satsang with Yamuna Devi. And Yamuna Devi told them, because they expressed that we want to attain Krishna as our beloved, as our husband. So Yamuna Devi gave them Katyayani Vrat formula. Katyayani Vrat formula is you, after the Kartik month ended, from that onwards 1 month they worship Krishna at the bank of Jamuna by performing tapasya, by eating only havishya without salt, without sugar, without anything, once a day, and whole day submerging themselves in water and chanting the holy name, and lot of austerity they did. So looking at their austerity, Krishna was very pleased. So Krishna came at the end of Katyayani Vrat, that means at the end of 1 month of our Kartik ends. Our Kartik ends at Kartik Purnima. After that, Margashirsha Purnima, this Leela happened. Krishna came there and stole their clothes. And thus, they were qualified. And Krishna, in one sense, by stealing their clothes, accepted them as their husband. I mean, accepted them as his wives. And this is a very, very significant Leela. They are not to be understood in material consciousness. Oh, how nasty Krishna is, how immoral he is. This is all a reciprocation of love only. There is nothing like lust in that. And it is said, from fifth day of that, I am also a little puzzled with the time calculation, but it is said that after fifth day of that, Krishna allowed them to enter in Rasleela. It's also mentioned in Bhagavatam that when the autumn moon came, Krishna was enamored to have a dance with gopis. And that time he also remembered these gopis. They were called as Shruti Chari gopis. They were gopis who were Shrutis before. So he remembered their austerities, remembered their love. He was quite inspired by their dedication. So he thought, now I should call them. Recently I stole their clothes and accepted them as my own. So you can imagine how much preparation they went through. They were not lusty women, and Krishna was not a lusty man. They entered in company and they had relationship. It's not like that. Then there are other kinds of gopis, like Lord Ramchandra in Treta Yuga was walking in forest, and 13 years he spent in Chitrakoot, and 14th year he came in Dandakaranya, Dandakavan. And there were many rishis who were in the male body who had perfected their devotion in conjugal loving affairs with the Lord. They had developed conjugal mood with the Lord. See, every living entity has a mood. You can become a servant, you can become a friend of Krishna, you can become motherly to Krishna as per your original bhav, which is not known to us now, but it will be revealed when we become completely pure. That will be erupting naturally from our heart. So they had that natural bhav development of affection in the conjugal mode to Krishna. I mean, they were like females in their mood. And they were attracted to Lord Ramchandra, who was so beautiful. Although he was wearing tree bark and having matted hair, he was so beautiful. What to speak of when he was prince, fully decorated with all the ornaments. But he was so attractive. So when they saw the Lord walking in the forest barefoot, they got attracted to him. And they expressed to him that we want to have this kind of relationship with you. So Lord said that in this incarnation I am Ekapadni Vrata, and my mood is Maryada Purushottam. I will come in the next incarnation in Dwapar Yuga as Sri Krishna, and that time I will fulfill your desire. So these rishis, they became gopis. They took birth as gopis in various houses in Vrindavan, and they were called as Rishi Chari gopis. Lord Ramchandra went to coastal days one time to meet his, maternal parents. I mean maternal grandparents. Kausalya's parents, coastal days. So there he was a very young boy that time. So many girls attracted to him who were devotees, who had that affection for him. And they expressed the desire. So Lord Ram said, ki in next lifetime. So they were called as Kosal Vasini gopis. Then he went to Mithila to, win the Swayambar with Sita. He broke the Dhanushya and won Sita's hand. And that time when he was moving around in Mithila for some time, many ladies in Mithila also got attracted to him and had that relationship with him. Very pure-hearted ladies. And they expressed to him, we want to love you with this mood. He said, in this lifetime I cannot. In the next life of Krishna, I will accept you. So they were also took birth in Vrindavan as gopis. They were called Mithila Vasini gopis. And there were Devakanyas also. There are umpteen number of types of gopis. If you read Garga Sanhita, you will come to know so many types of gopis are there. And they were not on the same platform. And not all of them, after taking birth in Vrindavan Dham, were allowed to enter Rasleela. Some of them only kept desiring, could not enter. Some of them just died thinking of that. They were not let permission inside, to go inside. Even the Matsya avatar of Krishna, of Vishnu, when Matsya avatar appeared in the ocean, there are many Samudra Kanyas. They were attracted to the fish incarnation of the Lord. And now I will understand how a human being can get attracted to fish. But it is not fish, it is transcendental personality. And you are also transcendental by nature, as soul. So they were attracted. So those Samudra Kanyas became gopis. And they were also there in Vrindavan. And we can go on describing about so many types of gopis are there. So many types of gopis were there in Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan also they were doing internship. You know internship, what we do in medicine. You become a doctor, but still you have to practice for a while to actually come out as a stamped, registered doctor. And then also whole life what we are telling is we are practicing. Where do you practice? I practice in Mira Road. Whole life you are practicing. So spiritual life was like that only. So this is what I am telling all of you, because you have to understand what is the nature of this relationship. And the highest of all in quality is Madhurya. Madhurya means Shringar. That is what we can understand today is between man and woman, what kind of relationship is there. When the purest form, that is called Madhurya. And essentially, by definition, there is no lust involved in that. One cannot just say, oh, I feel Krishna is my husband, I want to marry him. That doesn't mean it's Madhurya. It's a lusty desire. He's a very beautiful personality, I want to have him a husband. But the gopis didn't have any desire. They were only, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained about gopis that he expressed the gopis' hearts by chanting this sloka. Ashlishava padaratam pinastumam. You know, pinastumam, the word pinastu means crush. You can crush me. You can accept me or reject me. You not only reject me, you can crush me, you can destroy me, you can make me Mr. Nobody or Mrs. Nobody. You can do whatever you like with us, but we will remain the same with you. Mat prana natastu sa eva na paraha. Our approach towards you, our mood towards you as surrendered souls, and you being our Aradhya Praneshwar, worshipable Lord of our lives, will never cease to be, will never dilute to be, will never become less than what it is today. But you can crush us if you like. Pas bulavo dhuru bhagado. My sabavidhi sharanatihari. I will always remain a surrendered servant, menial, insignificant servant of yours. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has described about gopis in his Chaitanya Shikshashtakam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a strictest of all sannyasis. He would not even look at the wooden used items of ladies. Lady is not there, only a chappal is there. But he would not even look at that. But a sannyasi means that would remind them of women. So he would not even, that kind of sannyasi he was, would not even look at the used items of women. Women are not there, but still. Such a strict sannyasi would chant the name of these gopis regularly in his childhood pastimes as a teacher of grammar in Navadvip Dham. And his disciple students were laughing at him one day. Hey, this is not mentioned in scriptures to chant the names of ladies. You should chant the name of Vishnu. What kind of teacher you are? So in that bhav, when he was chanting names of gopis in remembrance of Vrindavan Dham, when they would come and disturb him, he would take a stick and run behind them. Because he was so disturbed that my meditation on the gopis, these boys are disturbing. So that kind of position this strict sannyasi had, the Supreme Lord, he became sannyasi, he had the understanding of gopis like this, how exalted they were. So these are the gopis. They were qualified to have this highest expression of love. Ras Purnima, Ras Leela, what is Ras Leela activity? Ras Leela activity is the highest of all expressions of loving sentiments between the Lord and His devotees. The possible highest expression and experience of love that one can have with the Lord is Ras Leela. Through the dance of Ras Leela, Sri Krishna expressed His highest expression of love for the gopis. It is not something ordinary, cheap road show that we have today on television and on the road. is the highest of all expression. What the soul can experience, what the super soul can give. That is the expression, the interaction is called Rasleela. And for that, lot of preparation, lot of situation, lot of qualification is required. And then this happened. And that was such a private affair it was. Yashoda Devi did not know what is happening. Nanda Maharaj did not know what is happening. The coward boy Sridhama, Madhumangal, Arjun never knew what happened. They even understood or never thought about what's happening in the night. They would only meditate, oh, when the day will come up, when sun will rise and we'll go to the forest to herd the cows with Krishna. So it was so exclusive. It was not even available to everybody in Vrindavan. What to speak of that group of ladies who were gopis, even they were not fully qualified to go inside. So with this, we will try to describe something what is given in 10th canto. It was autumn season, Sharad Ritu, which started a little while ago in our current timetable, understanding of time. And when this autumn season, Purnima came up, the full moon came up, it is explained. Very beautiful description is there that acharyas are very, you know, very great personalities. How they explain that? Because Chandra is the Vamsha of Krishna. Krishna took birth in the material world in Chandra Vamsha. So when Krishna was born, Chandra was a half actually, Ashtami Chandra. But he thought, oh, in my Vamsha Krishna is coming, why should I remain half? So he became full that day. He broke the rule himself, whatever rule is there. Of astronomy, whatever, Khagol Shastra. He broke the rule and he became full moon. Because he was very happy. He was ecstatic that day. And even the lotus flowers who don't blossom in the night time, they also blossomed. They thought, oh, sun has come. So they blossomed. So many things happened unusually, which would otherwise would not happen as a law of nature. So it is said moon had a role to play in Krishna's pastimes. So even to, you know, invigorate love in the hearts of the devotees of the Lord, moon has played a lot of role. So one of the role is that he arose on the Sharad Purnima day in the twilight time in the horizon. And what is explained here? It was 1 year after lifting Govardhan. At the time of lifting Govardhan, Krishna was 7 years old. And after 1 year of that, so every year Sharad Purnima would come, but every year he did not perform that. When he became 8 years old, and that Sharad Purnima came, Ashwin Purnima. At that time he felt like, he remembered the Shrutichari gopis and thought like, I should satisfy them. I should respond to their Katyayani Vrat in a more physical and more external manner. So it is said that he began to play flute. First of all, he saw the moon, and the moon had created red hue in all the horizon. And how the Acharya explained, Shukdevji explained so beautifully, that when in the olden days Vedic husband would come out from traveling, he would come and greet his wife by putting kumkum on her parting of the hair and decorate her with kumkum. So like that, nature was like Vadhu and the moon like husband put reddish tinge of all over the scenario, like the husband puts kumkum on the forehead of lady or his wife. And then immediately the parrots and the peacocks and the chakravakas and all the birds were inspired, cuckoos, they were inspired to sing, they started singing songs. See, generally what you see when it becomes night time, they stop singing and they go to rest. But it was becoming night and they started singing again. All the lotus flowers, they blossomed. All the atmosphere became surcharged with energy, you know, and vibrancy. Everybody became charged. And looking at that, Krishna got inspired. And he played his flute. Now, Krishna's flute is also very significant and very interesting thing, personality. He's also a devotee of the Lord. Made of bamboo. And bamboo comes from the bank of Yamuna. And then the bamboos are given holes, 8 holes, and then 3 kinds of flutes come. One is 6 inches called Venu, and another is Basuri, another is Venu, Basuri, and what else? Murli. Murli is 18 inches with 7 holes. Basuri is 12 inches with 7 holes. Murli is with 6 holes. Basuri is 12 holes, and Venu also is 12 holes. Eight, I'm confusing you. Venu is 6 inches having 7 holes. Bansuri is 12 inches with 7 holes and Murli is 18 inches with 6 holes. And 7 holes mean there are 7 swaras, 7 notes that Krishna plays. And each note is so transcendentally unique that each note when he plays, there are different effects in the atmosphere. Like for example, if we place the first note, the moon and sun will stop moving in their orbit. And not only they will stop moving, but they will go opposite direction. Yamuna will have whirls. Yamuna cannot have water flowing in one direction. It will have whirls and Yamuna will flow backwards. When he will play sixth note, that note will be heard by only cows. And nobody else will, he will play the note. It goes in the atmosphere, but it will go only in the ears of cows as their individual names. They will not hear it as flute, they will hear it as their name. Hey Dhavli, hey Kalia, like that they will hear. Hey Tilakini, hey Mridangini, like that she will hear and she will come running in response to that. When he will play sixth note, one more thing will happen. The stones will melt. Wherever he is playing, the stone will start melting and he will start going inside the stone. As if he is going inside the melting mom candle. You know what is that called? What is mom called in English? Wax. It's like wax. You are standing on a wax and wax will go and you will go inside the wax. Just because it is melting. So like that, the fifth note is dedicated for gopis. And he will play the fifth note, only gopis will hear it. And not only they hear it, they will hear their name being called. And they will create earnest mood of attraction. And they will lose their sense of well-being and composure. And they will become imbalanced in their behavior. Such kind of changes it will occur. And only they will hear. So that's why the thing is what, when Krishna played his fifth note, some people say standing under the banyan tree at bank of Yamuna. Some people say he was sitting on the branch of Yamuna. A branch of banyan tree at the bank of Yamuna in the middle of the night, and he played the fifth note. And what is happening here? Most funny things happened. It is explained over here that some of the gopis were milking the cows when they heard the sound of Krishna's flute, and they dropped everything and ran to see Krishna. Some of them were boiling milk, they left it to overboil and get destroyed. And some of them were feeding their children. Some of them were serving their husbands, mother-in-law, father-in-law. Some of them were milking cows. Some of them were cleaning their cow shed. Some of them were just decorating themselves in the evening. Usual cleaning themselves. And they just got mad completely. Whatever they were doing sanely, they become insane. One funny thing the Brijvasis tell, that one gopi was serving her father-in-law. And father-in-law was supposed to be given roti, dal, sabji and roti and whatever. Roti, dal, sabji and rice. And she made the plate. And she was supposed to feed the cows also. She had also prepared the bhusa. Bhusa means what? That fodder. And when this flute was being played, she was completely doing her duty nicely. She was preparing the plate. Suddenly when the flute was being played, she got totally mad. She went to the goshala, brought the fodder and served the father-in-law. And that plate which roti sabji, she gave it to the cows. And the father-in-law said, "Have you gone mad?" She said, "What is there? You eat. You were supposed to eat fodder." So he didn't understand what's happening to my daughter-in-law. And she didn't know what's happening to her also. But something was happening definitely. And some of them were wearing dresses. So they wore upper dress down and downer dress up. They put kajal on the cheeks and they went. They put earrings on their fingers as rings and they went. And they wear finger rings to the ears and whatever, all kinds of funny things they did. And they were looking very funny also when they were running. Some of them were stopped by the husbands and sons and father-in-laws and mother-in-laws. And some of them, as I explained to you earlier, who had association of the Nitya Siddha gopis, who were purified completely, they could run. They could not be stopped by them. They just trespassed them, pushed them away and they ran in the forest. And they were with the sticks in the hand, the men. Either they were sons or husbands or fathers, father-in-laws. But they just went. And others who were not so pure, they were stopped by them. And some of them were put in the house arrest, like locked inside the house. And that time, because of the sound of the flute, they became so enamored that they created an unusual intense longing in the hearts of those gopis. And those gopis, in the separation, they completely got purified. And when they got completely purified, by the power of their love to the Lord, they could give up their external material body there only. They could drop the body there. And in the spirit soul form, they left, because spirit soul cannot be stopped by any door or locks. So in the spiritual form, they left and joined Krishna. Others left their bodies and the story was over there. They got completely purified. They got liberated there. So this is what is Ras Leela. This is not something ordinary childhood play happening over here. It's a very deep, intense, esoteric, highest kind of spiritual emotion that is being expressed over here. Lord Krishna is, the flute sound is affecting those souls who are qualified to their hearts. This flute effect was there. It didn't affect cows or the coward boys or the men who are elderly gopas. They couldn't even hear also. Who could hear it was the gopis. And then, so many things happened and they left and they went. And then when they reached there, it was like quite a far distance. See, today when we go to Vrindavan, Vrindavan has become a very big city now. Everything is lit, there is no forest anymore. Hardly any forest is there on the other side of Parikrama Road, and it's also not so dense. What we have heard and read is that from Vrindavan to Radhakund, when we would go, not even very far, about 400 years back, 28 kilometers is today's distance from Vrindavan to Radhakund. And not even one ray of sun would touch the ground of all 28 kilometers. That much dense forest was there. And all wild animals will live in that. Just 400 years back, not very far. Now everything has become city. Even when Prabhupada bought the land in 1970, something like that, 73, 74, and 78 temple was inaugurated. That time, even tigers and wild animals would graze in that area. So people are saying, why you bought the land there? Tigers are there. Who would come to have darshan? Who would dare to come there? And Prabhupada said, you wait and watch. And today, the rates of that area where temple is there is much more than Mumbai also. I mean, we are not trying to commercialize the whole thing, but I'm trying to say that what was jungle that time, even Juhu temple was a jungle. Bombay was still Bandra only. And Prabhupada bought the land in Juhu, which was in the wilderness, all smuggling would take place that time in the ocean there. And everybody said, why you want to buy land there? And a lot of dispute is there. What is the reason why you're going there? But because he's a divine personality who had the vision, so he pursued. And today you see what is the situation in Juhu temple, what is the condition in the Raman Riti area where Krishna Balaramendra is there. So like that, when Krishna today, where he, from today's reference, if you see the place where he stood and played the flute, it is in the bank of Yamuna today also. There's a place called Bansiwat. Huge tree is there, unbelievably huge divine tree, and the way it is, you will have to go and see yourself. It's not like ordinary banyan tree. It is such a big expanse, and it is spread over in such a unique transcendental way that you will see it's not ordinary, it is a divine tree. And there he played the flute. But it's all inhabited area now. It's not a jungle, but in those days it was the middle of the forest. Only light was there of moon that was lit over the sky. And birds were chirping, very beautiful songs they were singing in the middle of the night, which is unusual. So gopis came running. It is said the one who is attracted with love, two things are not there, bhayam and lajja. And somebody is kama turanam na bhayam na lajja. This calm is not the calm that we are defining as lust. This is spiritual calm, the desire to please the Lord in conjugal love. So same way, when somebody is kamaturanam, na bhayam na lajja, there was no fear of wild animals and no shame, lokaninda, what they will say, kya kahenge log, what my parents will say, what my mother will say, what my husband will say, what my biradri will say, what my community will say. When there is a call from Krishna, these kind of worldly regulations and understandings don't exist. They just evaporate away. So gopis are on that level. They actually broke all the social norms and they reach there. And what do you expect? You expect that I have given up so much. I did so much of thrilling arrangement. I did some adventure. I came in the middle of the night, in the middle of wild animals. Dead of the night I came here. So they were expecting Krishna will run to meet them and greet them, and immediately their loving affairs will start. But Krishna was quite formal there. He has stopped playing flute. They all reached there. He said, "Oh, welcome. Thank you very much for coming. How may I serve you? And tell me why, what is the reason that you have come here?" He's so, in one sense, transcendentally cunning, actually. No? Through the flute, he spent so much power in the sound of the flute that he made them mad and actually called them with so much of love. And they were sucked by that love, you know, like a negative pressure. They were just moving with love without knowing what's happening to their life, actually. And then the person who called is asking, "Why you came here?" So they were a little taken aback, you know. They felt, "What is this? We didn't expect this." He said, "Oh gopis, don't you know there are so many dangerous creatures lurking everywhere? Therefore, please return home. Oh girls, this is not proper place for women to be in the middle of the night here." So they couldn't even look at Krishna. They were started looking down. And they started, you know, digging the earth with their toes. And there were so many holes in the earth because they were digging and digging and digging out of, you know, kind of inner frustration, because they didn't expect this to happen. And they were not able to look at Krishna eye to eye. They were looking here and there. So Krishna took a chance of that. He said, "Okay, I can feel that you have come to see the beauty of Vrindavan forest in the moonlight. So now that you have seen everywhere the moonlike beauty of Vrindavan forest, now you can go. Oh, stage ladies, you should go, because you should not keep your babies crying and you should not keep your husbands waiting. You should go." And then he gave a big, I will read it, big pravachan to all these gopis, huh, about chastity. "Oh, you have come here out of great love for me, and this is quite commendable. I really appreciate, I acknowledge, because all the living entities have such natural affection to me. Still, the highest religious duty for a woman is to serve her husband, behave well towards her husband's family, and take care of her children. Women who desire good destination in the next life should never abandon a husband who has fallen from religious standards, who has not fallen from..." See, this is a very powerful statement. Krishna says, even if the husband is obnoxious, unfortunate, old, unintelligent, sickly and poor, but if he has stuck to himself to the religious principles, one should never abandon such a husband. For a woman from a respectable family, petty adulterous affairs are always condemned. They bar her from heaven also. They can't even go in higher destination of heaven also. Ruin her reputation and bring her difficulty and fear in the very life they are living in. This is all right. What Krishna is saying, not false. My dear gopis, transcendental love for me develops. Again, another philosophy tells. If you really develop love for me, everyone develops love for me by hearing and chanting about me, by worshipping my deity form, and by meditating upon me. The same result is not achieved by merely physical proximity. So there is no need of being so close to me physically. Please go back. Hearing the discouraging words, the gopis became very morose. Their hopes having been frustrated, they felt terribly anxious. Their heads were hanging down and they were breathing very heavily with reddened lips. And Krishna was still consistent. And then they spoke a long dialogue, which essentially means that, "Oh Krishna, for your sake we have given up everything." They spoke also allegorically that there are many clothes that we are wearing. One cloth is of a family man, one cloth is of a wife or a daughter or a daughter-in-law. There are so many worldly relationships that we have, so many caps we are wearing, so many dresses we are wearing. And for your sake, for responding to your flute, the call of love, we have dropped all those clothes long back. Don't even know where we have dropped them. And we have come very far from that place where we have dropped those clothes. That means we have all these worldly identifications, we have dropped back very far from there. Now it is not even worth going there, finding those clothes and wearing again. It's not possible. And you are telling us to wear those clothes again. It's not possible for us. We have come here to serve you, my Lord. We are your maid servants. They didn't say we are gopis, we are your conjugal lovers, we want to become your wives. They were only expecting to serve him and to please him, for which they have given up everything. So Krishna also told them, after all this happened, then Krishna actually was testing them. Krishna wanted to actually take out their glory and exhibit the glory to the whole world actually by putting such questions to them. Like gold, when it is tested in fire, the real gold is proved to be gold. It shines through the test of fire. So Krishna put them to test of fire of his love. And then they convinced him, and then he was convinced of their love. Their glory was enough exposed to the world's benefit. And that time he accepted them and he began to dance with them. Now you see, Krishna didn't dance with them immediately. Krishna served them. Krishna put their ankle bells. Krishna helped them to pluck flowers and decorate their hair. Krishna did so many menial things. Krishna did everything for them as a menial servant. So they thought that, oh, he is so attracted to me. They never thought what's happening to others. They thought that, oh, he only loves me. I am so special that he left everything and he is with me. And then the dance began. And then dancing also was so absorbing that they thought that, oh, look at him. He's only with me. He left everybody. So Krishna again wanted to tell everybody that even amongst my greatest of all devotees, even amongst the highest rank of devotees, if they get little spiritual pride, not material pride, spiritual pride, that Krishna loves me more than others, even then I am not going to be with them in rasa dance. So he left. When he left, that time they came to know, because everybody said to everybody else, he was with me, you know, he abandoned all of you, he was with me. Others said same thing, he was with me, he left all of you. Radharani heard the same thing. But in the first place, he left Radharani. And the gopis were then talking to each other. Then they came to know, oh, how foolish we were. Actually, he expanded himself in everybody. So, our acharyas say that Krishna is very expert in satisfying unlimited people in the most personal way at one time. At one particular time, in the most personal way, Krishna can satisfy unlimited number of people. And they were, by whatever Acharya has explained us, by calculation, there were crores of gopis. The Ashtasakhis also had, each Ashtasakhi had 3 crores of gopis as assistants. Each Sakhi, like we have, you know, Lalita, Vishakha type, they had 3 main gopis assistant to them. Like Lalita had 3. Rupa Manjari, Labanga Manjari and Ananga Manjari. And Rupa Manjari had 1 crore gopis as assistants. Labanga Manjari had 1 crore. Ananga Manjari had 1 crore. Like that, 8 of them had 24 crores of personal chosen servants. And then there were Manjari assistants, and then there were Kinkaris and Sahacharis, and there were crores and crores and crores of special qualified gopis. And Krishna could please them at one point of time. Krishna could be with each and every wife in Dwarka. And gave personal intimate pleasures to all his wives, as if every wife thought that he has left everybody, all 16,107, and is only with me. That kind of capacity Krishna has got. Very unique capacity. And that Krishna exhibited to the fullest. But then he left with Radharani because gopis became proud. And then the gopis are now wondering, they have come to a first realization, ki, oh, we were in illusion that he was only with me, but everybody was there. He was with everybody. And then they felt, oh, how foolish we are, how unfortunate we are. And then they started feeling separation. Now, externally it may appear that Krishna left them because they felt that pride. But internally the acharyas explain that in the reason of pride, Krishna left them because Krishna wanted them to experience the higher pleasure of separation than the pleasure of meeting. Because even though from the worldly standard also we know that the separation, the hankering, when you want to meet your beloved, it increases when you are separate from him, the beloved. Even in the world is true. Distance makes love fonder, we say. So Krishna, after giving them pleasure of being together, wanted to give them, intensify their love for them by going away from them. So when he went away from them, disappeared from their middle, they felt separation and their longing increased. And in that longing, they started talking to the birds and trees, to the mango tree, the banyan tree, to the kadamba trees, to the parrots, to the cuckoos, to the peacocks, who are all awake in the night, amazingly in the middle of the night because of the effect of the moon of Sharada, Kritu. Have you seen our dear Krishna? Have you seen our Krishna who has lotus-like eyes? That blue, dark, personality, a personification of love. Have you seen him? Please tell us where he has gone. And they sang their songs. And suddenly they saw two pairs of footprints. And then they said, see, this must be Krishna and Radha. To that beloved gopi of Krishna, Anaya Rajata Nunam, it must be her lotus feet with the 2 feet of Krishna. See, they are walking. After some time they saw that only one pair of feet was there. So they guessed that she must have got tired after walking for some distance. So he must have lifted her. That's why this now individual single footprints are deeper than previous ones, because he must have taken her on the shoulders. And then you see that the single footprints are not as deeper as before. That means he must have put her on the branch of the tree, and sitting on the branch of the tree, she must be plucking flowers. And again they see deeper footprints. Oh, he must have taken back on her, on his shoulder again. And now he must be decorating her with flowers. They are just imagining. And then in that separation, they were acting as Krishna. Somebody was becoming like Krishna, talking to gopis as Krishna. Gopis were reacting to him, and his previous pastimes they were enacting, trying to solace their burning separation from Krishna. And suddenly, it was all true. Krishna was with the gopis, with Radharani, little ahead of distance. And they were asking Earth, oh Earth, Krishna is putting his lotus feet on your body. You are so fortunate. You have been blessed with the touch of Krishna's feet and Radharani's feet. You must be knowing where they are. Please tell us. And then, actually Radharani and Krishna were together, and actually what were imagining was happening actually. At one point Radharani told Krishna that I am so tired, you please lift me in. So Krishna bent down and she was about to climb on his shoulder, and Krishna disappeared. And then she started crying because of separation. Krishna became invisible and went away. And then she met gopis who were crying. And then she told ki how he adored me, how he appeased me, how he served me, how he pampered me. He did decoration of my hair, he plucked flowers for me, he was carrying me, he so much respect he gave me. And they somehow, she was not getting pacified, so they bathed her with the honey of the freshly oozing flowers. And Chandan Aguru scented flower to pacify her. And then they were all together singing about Krishna and searching him. And then Krishna was also feeling great separation from all the gopis, including Radharani. And he sat under one tree. And there he was meditating on Radharani's lotus feet and chanting her name. And he turned golden color, just by meditating on Radharani. And Radharani and gopis came there and saw, who is this personality? It's a long story. But they touched him and he came back to his original consciousness, external consciousness. He became blue again. And that time he said that your love is so intense for me. I experienced it for a while by meditating upon you. And I don't know what happened to me. So, this is what Raslila is all about. It's not something cheap that we know and we feel in the material world. The highest of love is expressed over here. And that too, that was the first day. That today is the first day where Krishna, in his whole incarnation as Krishna, first time played flute and first time called gopis and first time he had Raslila. And you know, he was playing Raslila. There is a place called Madan Ter. I don't know how many of you have gone to Vrindavan in ISKCON temple. When you come out, about 5 minutes walk, our hospital comes, Bhaktivedanta Hospice. And you go beyond that right turn, immediately a holy place comes called Madan Ter. So I was thinking that it is explained that Krishna was playing Rasa Leela with gopis there. And then we read that from there, 5 kilometers away, one Bansiwat place is there, there Krishna called gopis and started Rasa Leela. So how does it understand? How do you understand that he was playing Rasa Leela here also and there also? Then after some thinking, I understood that the whole area from that area to today's Bansiwat was Rasamandal, because there were crores of gopis. And Krishna multiplied himself into crores of Krishnas. So much space is required. And you don't dance like this, you know. You have to have full space to dance with all the movements and everything. How much space is required for one lady to dance? You know, one whole stage sometimes is not enough. This stage is a very small stage. When ladies dance, one lady dances with so much of space she requires. And there are crores of ladies and crores of Krishnas, and they are such expert dancers. So how much space must be required? So all that today's area of unbelievable number of hectares is all Rasamandal only. So Ras Mandal is extending to Keshighat, to Bhramar Ghat, to Imli Tala, to all these places where Banke Bihari Mandir is there, Kalia Ghat is there, today Madan Ter is there, and from there Madan Bamsiwat. So many places are there, Pani Ghat, any Jagannath Ghat, and so many areas. All of them were Ras Mandala. So Kamadev came there. And what is Kamadev's job? Kamadev is a demigod, one of the demigods, whose wife his name is Rati Devi. And both of them are the most beautiful of all demigods. And their service is that, not service, that their pastime maybe. They have flower arrows and flower bow. And when they shoot on somebody, and you get hit with the arrow, flower arrow, lust develops in your heart. Somebody who is prone to lust, Kamadev hits, Rati Devi hits that person with that invisible arrow, and one becomes completely enamored with material lust in the material world. And that's how, by hit by that arrow of Kamadev and Rati, everybody is entangled here in the attraction and activities with opposite sex. So Kamadev came there. In fact, it's a very interesting story. When Krishna was declaring that he will come down and he will do these things and he will come as son of Yashoda and Devaki here and there, and you become Bhishma, you become this. He was like giving roles to everybody, you know, distributing roles. At that time, Kamadev did not accept any role. There's an elaborate description about Krishna giving orders to everybody. Ashtavasus and Vayudev and Lord Shiva and everybody. You come down in this vancha, that vancha. And when Kamadev's and Ratidev's turn came, they refused to accept any role. And they said that we will take appropriate role at an opportune time. Because they had little doubt about Krishna being Supreme Lord, and they wanted to test Krishna and convince themselves. So they came down and Krishna was playing Rasleela, and that time they saw, oh, this Krishna is with so many women here. There will be so much of lust. Let us shoot our arrows over here. So he put a flower arrow on a flower bow and he stretched it. And the tip of the flower bow arrow, he connected with the face of Krishna. Aimed at Krishna, you know, you have to put target, right? So when he targeted Krishna's face with the tip of the arrow and he was about to shoot, but when he saw Krishna's face, he got completely overwhelmed with the beauty of Krishna. He was himself so beautiful, the best of all beautiful personalities amongst demigods. He was so much enamored that he couldn't believe that somebody can be so beautiful. And it was so much of overwhelming experience that he actually, first the bow and arrow slipped from his hand. He couldn't anymore hold the bow arrow in a stressed condition to shoot. That slipped from his hand, and finally he could not keep his composure. He melted there completely. He lost, was totally defeated. Krishna didn't have to have any war with him to defeat him, or defeat his purpose for which he has come, of testing or whatever. Krishna is just being there. Krishna is not even looking at him. Krishna is just being there, defeated the most beautiful demigod called Kamadev and Rati. That is why it's called as Madan Ter. That is where Krishna defeated Kamadev, the Cupid and his wife, you know. So that's why it's called as Madan Mohan, because Cupid is called Madan. And one who overwhelms, what is Mohana? Mohana means you lose your composure, you lose your sanity, you become Mohit means what? You don't remain what you are, you completely become weird and wizard. So Kamadev's position was like that. He was made into that situation, completely, you know, senseless and insane. So this is how we should understand Rasleela. And more you understand the gravity and the transcendental nature and the superlative nature, esoteric nature of Rasleela, the more and more awe and reverence and respect should develop in your heart about Rasleela. And then we should start worshipping that Leela of the Lord in the heart. When we listen, we should be listening to worshipful mood. When we speak, we should be speaking in worshipful mood, not in an enjoying mood. Our acharyas explained that this kind of pastime should not be enjoyed by even hearing. They should be heard with service mood. They should be heard with awe and reverence. Then only hearing such pastimes will help you. Otherwise, if we hear or narrate these pastimes in the enjoying mood, then what happens, you know? Lust, actual lust, material lust develops in the heart. What happened to Kamsa? The same loving Krishna was so dear to the hearts of Brijvasis. He was same person. He went in front of Kamsa. What happened to Kamsa? His fear increased. The same Krishna went in front of Duryodhana as Shantiduta. But Duryodhana's envy increased. When he lifted Chakra and Chakra slain Shishupal, that blazing effulgence of Chakra, so many people could not bear. So many people's hearts were filled with envy, became more envious. Those who were not devotees of Krishna in the assembly, they all became more envious of Krishna. And Bhishmadev and Dronacharya and Pandavas, their love was like blossoming when they saw Krishna. When Krishna assumed Virat Rupa in the assembly of Duryodhana, by the effulgence of Krishna's personality, Duryodhana et al, all those people could not even see him. But Duryodhana saw him, but his envy increased. He said, arrest him. While the love in the heart of Bhishmadev and Dronacharya and Pandavas were blossoming like anything, at that same time, the same personality, same existence, same darshan was invoking envy and fear. Why is this so? It's not the mistake of the personality who is showing himself. It is a mistake of the consciousness of the people who were there. Those consciousness was filled with envy before, the envy magnified. So what happens when you see Krishna? If you have love in the heart, the love will increase like anything. If you have a tinge of envy, even if you don't know that envy is there, envy will be magnified. So Krishna is like a very high tester personality. In his presence, what to speak of in his presence? In the presence of the sound of his story also, when you are come across to that story, the feeling that is innate, inside, hidden, will come out. It will magnify. It will exhibit. It will explore, expose the feelings within. That is why Krishna is a very unique personality. When you go to temple, sometimes when he is worshipped with so much grandeur, you may feel, oh, why he is worshipped? Why not me? It may come. Oh, my wife didn't cook lunch for me today, but I asked, where is she gone? I asked servant. Servant said she gone to cook for Krishna in temple. What? Without cooking for me, she went to temple to cook for Krishna. What is it? That is your envy for Krishna. Then by philosophical understanding, by the satsang of good devotee, you have to understand, my dear Prabhu, this is envy for Krishna. You think she is your wife, she should not leave you and go and serve Krishna. And when she does sometimes and you feel, why she is going to temple and serve Krishna? Am I not her husband? Is it not duty to her husband to cook for him and go? This is how so-called devotees that we are, we can come across, come understand, come to know that we also have envy deeply hidden in the heart. In the name of devotees, in the name of spending so many years in Krishna consciousness, serving and doing so many sincere activities, giving up so many activities and giving up so many lusty activities, still deep inside the heart, there is still remnants and residues of that envy and anger and everything else against Krishna. So that needs to be cleared by constantly chanting the holy name. And when the trace of last negative quality is washed off, that time that love will erupt. Even when the iota of negative feeling is there, love will not develop. You may get purified more and more and more, but that love will not erupt till you are completely purified. And when we get completely purified of any material attraction, and when the love comes, then that love will tell you whether you feel like a coward friend, or we feel like a gopi, or you feel like a parent of Krishna, then it will be revealed. There's nothing like a mechanical process. The process is transcendental. And we should not even aim or act like gopis, because I feel I want to become gopis, I want to become peacock. There are people who are giving you Siddha Pranali mantra, who tell you that chant this mantra and you will become peacock at the end of your life. This is all bogus. It's not according to Shastras. We don't practice something like becoming gopi. If you are having gopi bhava, it will erupt one day. You don't have to worry about it. You just chant Hare Krishna. In any condition of life, just chant Hare Krishna, serve devotees, be sincere in your sadhana. And then one day Krishna will bestow upon you the feelings of love. The feelings of love that gopis had were not that their achievement. The feelings of love that gopis had was blessings of Krishna. It is purely the blessing of Krishna. So we have to understand that we should not claim the ownership of our sadhana, that we did so much. It's because of my sadhana I have advanced so much. I know so much and I do so much. Now even then Lakshmi could not enter. So it is a causeless, unconditional mercy of Krishna that we get bestowed upon with love from Krishna. And when that love He bestows upon us, seeing our qualification of sincerity, only at the best qualification that we can have, that we can be humble and sincere and not duplicitous and simple-hearted. And be simple-hearted so that we can attract Krishna's attention. And after we attract Krishna's attention by our humility, He will bestow upon us that love. And then all these things which are being heard today, what happened today, will start manifesting. And even then gopis don't feel that we are qualified. So now time is getting over, but I will tell you one more thing, that Krishna from today onwards performed Rasdila on every atom of Vrindavan Dham. It began in Vrindavan today, but then every single forest, every single small place, Krishna performed Rasdila. And today when you go to Braj Mandala, you will find so many places will have Rasa Mandala arrangement, you know, like a round circle, cemented or a very solid platform, and that is supposed to be Rasa Mandala. And some Jhula arrangements also, this is called Jhula. So wherever Lord performed His Rasa Lila pastime, they have commemorated that place by building a Rasa Mandala. And they worship that place. So one such place is in Govardhan. Today it is called Chandra Sarovar. But that time it was called Pravishtavan. Today it's called Petagaon. Huh? And that is a place where Krishna entered underground to lift Govardhan. That's why it's called as Pravishtavan, where Krishna did Pravesh underground. And from there he lifted Govardhan. So that was when Krishna went there to perform Raslila, it was known as Pravishtavan. So Krishna went there. It was like this is Sharadiya full moon. That was Chaitra full moon. It was Vasanti Ras, it is called as. Vasanta Rutu Ras. Since Vasanta Rutu began, and when that Purnima came, that time Krishna again was enamored. And he entered Pravishtavan. Now all the gopis went there. When all the gopis went there, they started dancing. Krishna expanded into many forms. And what happened was, they began their music of dance with flute as a beginning. Then they dashed their ankle bells and created sound. Then they dashed their bangles and created sound. And that was only music there. It was such a beautiful music that all the demigods gathered in the sky. Even moon came, Somadev came, Indra came, and everybody came, and their ladies came. And there was, it is explained that there was crowding of aeroplanes over that area. They were all crowding to see the beautiful dance that is beginning in the full moonlight. And they took out their instrument, because you know all the demigods are by birth expert into playing variety of instruments and dancing and singing, and so many things are naturally there. They are natural poets and natural musicians and natural dancers. And all these variety of demigods gathered in the sky, because they are not allowed to get into Vrindavan Dham. Demigods are not allowed to get down in Vrindavan Dham unless called for. No natural entry. So they would remain in the sky. From there would try to see. And they tried to match the melody what was being created below by the bangles and ankle bells and flute. But the expert of all expert musicians could not match the swar of the music that is one exhibited down. And they kept on playing something on top, and that never matched with the down. But they kept on anyway playing, and they kept on dancing upstairs in ecstasy. The moon got so enamored. That moon is a person who has the right to store Amruta. So the moon took out the Amruta and put it in that place. What other place? Because when Krishna and gopis danced, their tears of love and their Sveda Bindu, that is the droplets of water, came out of their body. Divine droplets, fragrant droplets of sweat that came up. It all gathered to form a big pond. It formed a Ashtakoni pond. And looking at that beautiful pond being created from the divine waters from body of Krishna and gopis, Chandra became very excited. He put some drops of Amrut, because he didn't want to get this place evaporated and get lost after some time. He wanted to maintain that place as a place, to have that memory. And afterwards the dance went on increasing and increasing and increasing in ecstatic mode. At that time Chandra became so inspired that he melted himself in the sarovar only. That's why Sarovar is called Chandra Sarovar. Indra came down. Many demigods came down and started playing stones. You know, the stones became instruments like drums. Even today one Shila is there called Bhajani Shila. That Indra actually played. Trying to accompany the beats of the music that was generated, but miserably failing into matching the beat that was created. But still he was playing because he was very happy. And that is called as Vasanti Ras, where Krishna performed Ras Leela. And there also Krishna disappeared in between, because Gopi suddenly in between felt proud. And Krishna left, and Krishna wanted to increase their purification and increase their love for him. So he at the same time could not bear the separation from Gopi. So he immediately manifested himself, but he became Vishnu. He stood on the way as Vishnu, four-armed, Vishanka Chakra Padma Kata. And the gopis were asking trees and creepers and birds, where is my Krishna? Have you seen Krishna? And they saw Vishnu standing there. And they all bowed down to Vishnu. But they didn't have, say, oh Vishnu, oh Sahasra Shirsha, Sahasra Pahat. They didn't have any shlokas to pray. They only asked one question. Have you seen our Krishna? So one of the four hands of Vishnu said, this way he has gone. So they all went. They didn't have any, you know, they should have stood there, they should have worshipped him. Vishnu has come to Vaikuntha, from Vaikuntha. Our fathers, our mothers worship Vishnu of Vaikuntha all the time in our homes, and he himself has manifested. They should have stood there and worshipped him. But they were so much enamored with love for Krishna, they asked that question, bowed down to him and went in search of that direction. And then finally Radharani came. And she was so much intoxicated with separation, there was one bumblebee revolving around her face, you know, like So she was talking to him as if he is Krishna. You are so cunning, you are so cruel, you leave us in between and go. What kind of heart you have got? Don't you respond to our love? We are suffering so much. And she's talking to bumblebee as if he is Krishna. And then she came near with the bumblebee to Vishnu, and she bowed down to Vishnu and she asked, have you seen my Krishna? At that time, Krishna could not maintain his two arms. His two arms disappeared. His Shankar Chakra Padma Gada disappeared. And he became Vrindavan Krishna with forest garland and peacock feather. He was with Vaidurya Mani Mukuta, and he was Kaustubh Mani and Vaijayanti Mala. All those Vaikuntha expression, Aishwarya was there. It all disappeared. And he became Vrindavan Krishna. Two arm Krishna. That is the power of love that they have. You can imagine, Krishna wants to exhibit his Aishwarya of Vaikuntha for a while at least in Vrindavan. But who are these gopis? What is their love? Even Krishna is fully out of control. And he wants to remain Vishnu, and he cannot remain Vishnu. He has to become forcefully the Krishna again, which the gopis want to see. And that's how Radharani discovered Krishna, where Krishna was. Although he was hiding in Vishnu form, but she, you know, exposed him from Vishnu form to Krishna form. And that place where he stood as Vishnu, immediately lotus flower came under his feet. And immediately Shir Sagar manifested there. That means when he arrived as, stood there as Vishnu, Vaikuntha appeared there. Shir Sagar appeared there. And today after Krishna came back to his two arm form, that Shir Sagar which appeared there is there now as Shir Sagar Kunda. And the lotus is there in between where he stood as Chaturbhuj Narayan. So today when you go to Petagaon, you have a temple of Chaturbhuj Narayan, but he is not Narayan, he is Krishna himself disguising as Chaturbhuj Narayan. And just next to that, where Krishna is standing, used to be the cave where Krishna entered to lift Govardhan. We have seen that cave, but now they have closed that because people who were getting lost inside the caves, when they would go inside, they would not come back only afterwards. So like that, this is the situation in Vrindavan, wherever Krishna performed pastime. There are so many Ras Leela performances, descriptions are there in the scriptures, where Krishna took gopis. There are sometimes Krishna danced with only Radharani, singularly, only Ras Leela with her, privately. After getting married with her in Bhandirvan, he danced with her alone in so many forests of Vrindavan, and again became babies and went home. Other times he went to Charan Pahadi, from there he met gopis, and from there he went to Nandagaon, Barsana, Sanket, and Vrindavan, and Jamuna, water pastimes, and so many places he went. Then they all met together. Radharani was alone with Krishna for a long time, and gopis were crying, and they were finally met in Kokilavan, and Kokilavan, again the same footprints they saw, and they pacified Radharani, and then Radharani and Krishna met, and they performed Ras Leela in Kokilavan. There are long, long descriptions of these beautiful pastimes. So Krishna, exhibited the highest of love for the highest of devotees of him, his highest devotees. But most important to understand is this private, most confidential activity, no entry for others kind of activity, was publicly opened by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, this highest esoteric, most transcendental, most sublime divine pastime, he made into public through the way of Harinam Sankirtan. When he performed Harinam Sankirtan, he actually exhibited Ras Leela for all of us. So why don't we feel that Ras Leela experience in that? Because we do not participate that way. When we participate in Harinam Sankirtan, in dancing and singing and jumping and losing ourselves and forgetting ourselves, offering ourselves in the dance of Hare Krishna Mahamantra Kirtan, as if we are offering ahuti in the fire and nullifying ourselves, becoming Mr. Nobody in the fire of the Harinam Sankirtan, at that time you will feel what is the pleasure of being in Ras Leela. Even in today's time, when you stay in the periphery of the Sankirtan and others are dancing madly and you're just observing, you know, no, I'll not go inside. How will I go inside? My clothes are new clothes, I'll get sweat and it'll all get wet. And I will feel tired tomorrow to go to office and I don't have energy, I'm not well so much. And all these kinds of things are preventing you from going in the circle, center of the circle. Then you will feel, okay, when it will end. But ever you've gone inside the circle and dance with full heart without any ulterior motivation, without any desire to show how wonderful you are a dancer, you have danced for Krishna's sake, at that time you will actually experience the pleasure, the experience of Ras Leela which Krishna gave gopis. So opportunity is there, but to the degree you surrender yourself to the process of dancing in the Harinam Sankirtan, to that degree Krishna will bestow upon us the experience of Ras Leela. So visa is with you, ticket you have to buy to reach that experience. The opportunity, the gateway is open for you, for all of us, but we need to participate. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself exhibited the Ras Leela maddening, overwhelming experience to all the devotees. When we read Chaitanya Charitamrut, what is there, Chaitanya Charitamrut, what is there? Essentially, what is it? Eating, dancing and feasting, nothing else is there. Chanting, dancing and feasting, nothing. Everywhere Mahaprabhu went, chanted, danced and feasted. That's all Krishna consciousness is all about. But that was 100% surrendered, chanting, dancing and feasting. It was only meant to please the Lord. There is no ulterior motivation. There is no gain materially expected in that. So see, today's festival also took place every day in the courtyard of Srivas Thakur in Navadvip. It also began one day. Sometime it began. Someday, like it began today in Vrindavan. So like that, it also began. Harinam Sankirtan began in Srivas's courtyard one day. And then what happened? Every single day it happened. Then it went on for days, days and days in daytime. Then one day Mahaprabhu Chaitanya said, why we sleep in the night? It's maya. It's tamoguna. Why should we sleep in the night? I feel we should dance. How you feel about it? Everybody said, Hari Bol. And from that day started nighttime kirtans, closed door kirtans, ecstatic kirtans. It created so much of envy in the Brahminical caste. Who are envious people, it increased their envy. They felt that they were doing illicit sex. They were crying like mad because they are enjoying with women. They are drinking wine and becoming intoxicated. So they are shouting and crying. All these kind of experiences which were happening in Ras Leela of Krishna were all happening there amongst men who were dancing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And even in that dancing, unqualified people could not stay. Mahaprabhu would stop his kirtan immediately. Today, who is there inside? Somebody unqualified is there inside here. Find out. Then they would hold the hair of that milk drinking Brahmin, Brahmachari Sarthi. He is there. Says, throw him out of the assembly. Does he think that by just drinking milk and committing performing austerities, you can enter in this kirtan? Get out. So he was thrown out. He said, yes, yes, at least for a moment I saw, I am grateful. And then Mukunda, and so many stories are there. The Lord exhibited that by material qualifications or relationships one cannot enter here. You have to have exclusive, your own devotion to Krishna. To have these feelings, you have to have the purity. by performance of sadhana, sincerely under the guidance of devotees and guru, then one will get the experience. Even today also it's open to you, but it's closed to us. Why? Because you're not still entering into that activity with full heart and full dedication and full selflessness. So don't think that Ras Lila was only there in the middle of the night only for gopis, and daytime even nobody could enter. Today it is open to everybody. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has opened to everybody. Prabhupada gave it to everybody. He went out of India and gave it to everybody abroad. And everybody is dancing. And you can see the videos on YouTube all time. Devotees are dancing on the road, and people are crazy. You know, they are simply dancing on the road. There was one film came and they were saying, chant Nitai. And they will chant Nitai and they will start dancing with fast beats of Mridanga and Kartal. And they were termed as mad people. Yes, you become mad in ecstasy of love when you chant Hare Krishna in Kirtan and dance with devotees. That is our fortune. So, Prabhupada wrote an article, Who is Crazy? The world thinks that you are crazy. And you think the world is crazy. Who is really crazy? That's a big question. It is better to be crazy like this for Krishna, rather than crazy for material energy, crazy for enjoying the bodies and the worldly things which will drown us in the hellish situations. It is better to be crazy for Krishna, because you will go to Golok Vrindavan if you are crazy for Krishna. So better to remain crazy, to be called as crazy from the worldly people, and go from here one day to Goloka and enter into the transcendental situation in Goloka. Hare Krishna. So my heartfelt prayers for each one of you and for myself also, to come up to that standard one day of love and devotion for Krishna, to understand this principle of Ras Lila, to understand the relationship between us and the Lord, and be on that platform on one day. And that is what his life is meant for. Otherwise there is no other purpose of life. Without understanding our relationship with the Lord, there is no other purpose for which we are here. And we have to utilize every possible available unit of time to understand this. Then we can say our life is successful. Then we can say Kartik month is successful. Then we can say Rasa Purnima festival is successful. Everything is successful. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much.